Before we get stuck into today's podcast, just want to do a special mention for one of our listeners who celebrates his 63rd birthday. That's right. Hugh, happy birthday to you, mate. I don't know if you are our oldest listener. Don't want to put that on you. But we appreciate you being with us on a week-by-week, day-by-day basis and discussing all the points that we have on this show with your son, Brian. Just wanted to wish you a special happy birthday. Thank you very much for all your dedication over the years. And thank you very much for coming back week after week to join the Fight Disciples family. Hope you have a fantastic birthday, mate. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of stuff in this podcast for you and your son, Brian, to be discussing. So let's get stuck into it.
This is Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode number 740. We are the Fight Disciples. This is your boxing preview for the weekend ahead. Before we get stuck into it, of course, I'm going to ask you to come and be a part of the Fight Disciples family. You do that by subscribing. We've got every audio feed under the sun available on our website, fightdisciples.com. We've also got a feed for YouTube. So if you like watching podcasts rather than listening podcasts, which is turning out to be the preference for many. And obviously that is going to go through the roof now that we've both got new cameras. Woo-hoo-hoo! Sex has gone up a level on the old Fight Disciples. I know you're rushing to the YouTube now to have a look at what we actually look like.
Shout out to Opal C1, based out of America, who reached out, said, listen, you guys are the biggest, the best, the most popular fight sports podcast in Europe. Would you like to trial our brand new Opal C1, not even yet available for purchase in Europe, cameras to enhance your show output? And we said yes, and I used it earlier this week, and they said no. Tune it in, dickhead. You haven't bloody tuned it. So anyway, it's tuned now. Look how good we look. Yes.
Can I just on that, right? I'm looking at mine, and there's loads of different. By the way, if you are a podcaster, if you are a person that just wants to look even better in your video calls, because everybody's doing video calls these days, aren't they? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Businesses have got lazy since COVID. Right, you can all stay at home and you can all do these teams and all this type of shit. If you want to look the business, get yourself one of these, right? It's got all these mad little settings on it. I think you've actually put one of them filters on, haven't you? Mine's
this
normal.
Is just me. This
mine's
is just
normal.
How I look.
I've left mine normal, right? But I have, if you can tell, if you're looking really closely, I have blurred my background just a touch, just to bring me into that sharper focus up front, you see. You look like you've got like a vintage
25-year-old filter.
Sheen. You've got a vintage sheen over you. You know what I mean? It's eyeing it out, man. You're looking fresh. You're looking like, I know it's the summer's day today, but you're looking ultra summery today.
Well, you know, this is just the way I look. This is a true camera reflecting the true image of the sex. You're welcome.
Yes, mate. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Instagram and reality. People will meet us now in real life, going, "Fucking hell, you is
are
that really
handsome.
You? Woo, even more handsome." Yeah, right.
Well, as you know now, previously when we've met people go, "Wow, okay, your camera does you no favors, Nick. You are in, you know, you're basically like a Tom Hardy lookalike." Whereas now people can see for real with the camera on that. Yeah, you can see now the Jake Gyllenhaal resemblance that my wife fantasizes about. It's very real. Shout out to Opal C1 cameras for making for letting the world see the sex in all its glory.
Right. Anyway, as I was saying, if you are actually listening to the show now and you're thinking, I've got to fucking check these lads out, you can do it on our YouTube channel. It's there for you, right? Fight Disciples on YouTube. We've also got a store as well, fightdisciples.com/store. Go check it out. Loads of merchandise, including beer. So if you want to get yourself hands on a couple of tins this weekend to enjoy the fights, it's all there for you. The Fight Disciples Pilsner is available, ready to rock and roll. And last week, we only had one show, didn't we? We sat here and we just talked about Clarissa Shields for 2 minutes before we got stuck into all the latest boxing news. They've decided to stick them all on there this weekend. How many have you got? How many have you marked down? How many different cards have you marked down to go and get stuck into?
Five, six, seven, eight. Eight fight cards we've got to get through today. We might not spend too long on them all, but eight. And five of them are on Friday night. It's fucking mental. Absolutely mental.
Well, I have purposely only written down two for Friday night because I was thinking, should we even bother? But you're a proper fight disciple, mate. You want to talk about it all. Where do you want to go first then on Friday?
Yeah, let's do the Friday stuff and let's build towards the crescendo that is Saturday night, Wembley, Madison Square Garden. So let's start really by ticking the boxes on Friday, because we've got one, two, three shows in the UK on Friday. One in my neck of the woods, one in your neck of the woods, and one on telly down south. We'll save that one to the end. But the first one I want to talk about is your neck of the woods, only because the reason I want to highlight it is we've got a former world champion in action at Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester versus, hold on to your hats, kids, TBA. And the following night, his younger brother is headlining a huge card at Wembley Arena.
Whoa. Take the word huge out of that card, mate. That there's nothing huge about that
televised
card.
A televised card at Wembley Arena.
Should it even be on TV, that card? We'll get to that later
Televised card at Wembley Arena. That's what I will say. And it's just mental how these two brothers have gone in opposite directions. Like Charlie Edwards, we were there on the, I think it was the Lomachenko, Luke Campbell undercard, wasn't it? When he had that controversial, when he got punched when he was down. Lost his world title, wasn't that? Yeah, that was that undercard, wasn't it? And that was, what, 2-3 fights ago? I think his last fight was a Leisure Centre fight as well. This is a Kieran Farrell Promotions, a Bowlers Leisure Centre. You know, Charlie Edwards, who's got an 18-fight record with just that one defeat, that very controversial defeat on there. And here he is in another off-TV card. It's just mental when you contrast where Charlie's career has gone compared to where Sonny ends. And we'll come to Sonny a little bit later in the show, but as far as I can see, Sonny's career is fucking going and Charlie's career is just flatlining.
Yeah, something's happened, hasn't it? How a promoter can't take a chance on Charlie Edwards. I know that, you know, listen, we've spoken to him a couple of times. He's had a couple of bits outside of the ring, as most fighters do. You know, you come against defeat, you come against, you know, adversity, and it takes a little bit of time mentally to get through those particular challenges. And I know that Charlie's had those challenges. He's now seems to be set. I know that he lives in Portugal, but he seems to be settled with his training with Joe, doesn't he, in the Northwest? So that's a good thing, because he seemed to be all over the place with that for a short period of time. Seems to have got that sorted. But for him to be fighting on a card of this level, it just feels so off and so wrong. I mean, maybe there's information and things that we're not privy to. Maybe there's things that have gone on that we don't know. But I'm gobsmacked that one of the higher level promoters, whether it be Eddie, Frank, Ben, in our country, haven't taken a little bit of a punt on him and go, do you know something? Yeah, absolutely. Former world champion. There's definitely something there. We can build you. We can get you 2 or 3 fights before we get you back into the level that you've been used to fighting at previously. Maybe that still is the plan. Maybe this is just a situation to blow the rust off. I don't know. And then he's already had these negotiations with somebody and he's going to be moving forward. I hope so, because I actually really like him. I've spent a bit of time with Charlie. He's a lovely lad. He seems to have got his head back on his shoulders now. He's the first to admit that becoming world champion, you get carried away with yourself a little bit, don't you? And that is what he's insinuated to me happened. But he seems to be back in the game now. He seems to be back in the game, working hard, putting the graft in. The talent's there. And I just hope that somebody does take a chance and puts him on a decent platform in order for him to showcase his talent, because he is a talented lad. And how old is he? He's still only a baby, really, man. So he's still got plenty of time ahead in order to kick on. But it does feel, like you say, it does feel weird that the former WBC flyweight champion is fighting at Bowlers on Friday night against a kid that hasn't even been named yet.
In front of, no doubt, a couple of hundred people. And yet, you know, you've got the likes of, with all due respect, Harlem Eubank headlining cards on Channel 5 on Wazerman shows.
There's another one, a Wazerman. Yeah, there you go. There's another promo that could take a chance on him.
He's a headliner on Channel 5 all day the week. And he's, you know, with his previous, he's two wins, you know, he's a win, one good win or two decent wins or, you know, recognisable wins away from a potential world title shot. Just a bizarre one. Anyway, back over in Liverpool Olympia, a place I know well, place where I wore those shorts when me and Shane Neary had a merry dance in 2008, host a double Commonwealth title fighter to Dennis Hobson Fight Academy card. You've got Ryan Farag, the former European flyweight champion, taking on Marshall Braithwaite, the former British champion, who knows Sonny Edwards well, of course. That's all Liverpool, Scouts, Merseyside, Derby, whatever you want to call it, for the Commonwealth Super Flyweight title. And also on that card, Conor Butler, who fights out of Liverpool, he's got an undefeated record, taking on Matt Windle for the Commonwealth Flyweight title and also the European Flyweight title as well. So, you know, a decent little card there. I think it's probably off TV. You might be able to find it somewhere on some kind of fight or some kind of streaming channel. But yeah, two little decent Commonwealth title knocks, and Scouser versus Scouser, that'll be a good little knock, that one.
Farag Braithwaite will be a good fight, mate. I think it's in Ryan Farag for time. Do you remember when he used to come in our show all the time?
Yeah.
When we first started this, obviously we
based in Liverpool.
We gave birth to this in Liverpool. So therefore, as well as doing the podcast, we had a live radio show as well on Radio City. And quite a lot of Liverpool-based fighters would come in, whether they be MMA or whether they be boxing. Ryan Farag used to be one of those that he was so active, he would always be on the show. I think he's been doing, has he been out in the Middle East? Has he been out there?
I think he lived in Dubai for a while. He went out in Dubai, didn't he? He was training with Danny Vaughan out there, and then he came back, and then he was living in Spain, and then he retired a bunch of times.
He was doing a bit out there, wasn't he?
Anyway, he's back. Yeah, he was fighting in Spain. That's where he had his comeback fights. But
listen,
he's back now, and that Marcel Braithwaite, that'll bring in some decent numbers. I think Marcel's certainly from Toxteth, Liverpool, late, the south of the city. I think Ryan Farag's from the other side, from the north end of the city. So it should be a good little scrap, that. And hopefully it'll do some numbers. You know, not everybody sells out the Liverpool Olympia, but hopefully there's a good sellout there. I went all Carl Froch there, didn't I? We sold it out, kid. And then the final fight on Friday domestically is, of course, the Queensberry Frank Warren fight on Friday night at York Hall. I guess this is on BT Sport. Is it a next gen Friday night show? Is it?
Yeah, it's on TV.
Yeah. So there's an IBF European lightweight title on there.
Don't even talk about it.
WBO European heavyweight title on there. Both belts with absolutely nothing. Oh, there's a WBC international silver. An international silver. Just call it tin. Shit. The WBC tin super lightweight belt. Oh, dear.
Bloody here, what
hell.
I will say.
How does this shit get on TV?
I've no idea how it gets on TV. And I've no doubt that with new owners, I'm sure conversations are going on about the level of things that need to go on television. The best fight on this card is Henry Turner versus Tom Farrell. Tom Farrell, you know, is going to turn up. He's going to have a go. Don't get me wrong. Is he of Henry Turner's level? Well, Henry Turner's a young lad coming through. He's not necessarily got the punch power, or we haven't seen necessarily the punch power as of yet, but we've seen technique. He's a very, very talented kid. Tom Farrell's been there, done it, got the T-shirt, been in with every man and his dog of a certain level. I think it's a great piece of matchmaking that. Tom's going to bring it. He'll throw the kitchen sink at him. I would fully anticipate Henry Turner to come through and look quite skillful and flashy in doing so. The rest of the card, I'm scratching my head, because you look at the David Adelaide fight, for example, against Amatovic, and you can sell this purely on, well, Amatovic has been at world level. He's been in with Hergovic. Yeah, and he got flattened in three rounds. Okay, there's no shame in that, because Ergovic is absolutely the business and he's at the top end of the heavyweight division. But you look at Amatovic's record up to that, the fella has only ever beaten one bloke with a winning record. One. Everybody's had like 10 and 30. Ridiculous record. It's so padded, it's unbelievable. So I'm fully anticipating David Adelaide to go in there, smash this guy, and then all of a sudden the noise is going to be, well, the only other person to beat Amatovic is Filip Ergovic. Right, okay, sound, you spin whatever you want to spin. And then you've got Mark Chamberlain. I'm a fan of Mark Chamberlain, actually. I actually think Mark Chamberlain needs more love. He's looked impressive from what I've seen so far, but we haven't necessarily seen him with the dance partners that we all want to see him in with. He's got Marvin Delamari this weekend. I personally think this is a huge mismatch on paper. I really do.
Yeah.
You look at it and you look at a guy here that's undefeated through 12 fights, 8 knockouts. And he's looked the business, Mark Chamberlain. Delamari's got 2 knockouts in his 16 fights, 4 defeats on there as well. I think Chamberlain goes through him like a dose of salt. So I don't think there's anything other than the fight that I mentioned, Turner-Farrell, that's worth watching, if I'm honest. I don't think any of it's competitive. And I even think Turner might play with Farrell a little bit. But on paper, you look at that one and you think that's actually a decent piece of matchmaking for this young lad's where he's at right now in his career.
Yeah, if Turner's the talent that it would be led to believe, and his 10-0 record suggests he's in the right trajectory, it's the perfect fight at the perfect time. I've got lots of time for Tom Farrell. I've known him since he was an amateur. But you're right, he's kind of come to a certain level domestically, and he can't break through that glass ceiling, and he's quasi-retired a couple of times. And you know, this is the last roll of the dice for him, which does make him dangerous. But I think if Henry Turner's intelligent enough, he could make this look quite easy. And Matovic, you're right. Professionally, he's done absolutely nothing. He did box internationally for Germany. And that might be something people go, well, you know, he was in the World Series of Boxing and he went to the World Championships and he did this as an amateur. Cool, man. David Dadley didn't do all that. Mm. Look at his record when he did that. I don't think he won a single fight in World Series of Boxing. He got chinned in the first round at the World Championships. Just because you're the German national champion, with all due respect, doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready to take on the world. And David Adelaide, listen, I think David Adelaide is of a certain level as well right now. Mm-hmm. I think domestically there's some good fights for him. I think this fight, Amatovic, has been chosen for David Adelaide to look great. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to get. You know, it's a BT Sport Friday night fight. Red corner wins, blue corner loses.
Shedding, shedding. Do you want to talk about Broner? Series that we're talking about having a laugh?
Friday night fights. Let's keep the ball rolling.
Weirdly, I know he's been a dickhead. And there's no hiding that, right? He has. I'm secretly rooting for him a little bit, you know. I am. I don't know why.
Because we need characters, that's why.
We do need characters, but we need characters to fucking obviously not cross the line and be absolute fucking tour rags. You know, yeah, exactly. And Broner, I think, I'm hoping that he's not pulling the wool over my eyes. Over the last 3 months, he seems to have turned a corner a little bit. Just with his interviews. I'm not talking about he's shaking your head, I can tell. Right. He seemed like he's giving the interviews and he's talking about struggles and getting carried away with fucking just being what he was and thinking that he was this and that and the other. Now, I know this is a fucking Don King show, right? And I'm pulling my hair out already. The little hair that I've got, actually. I just hope that Broner comes in, he's in shape, he's on weight, he just takes it seriously, he does Broner things, he puts on a bit of a show, and then all of a sudden, you know, because it's Broner, he'll get an opportunity. And I just hope that we can get to that stage, and this isn't just another false start. You think it's a false start, don't you?
It's Broner, man. You know, I've lost count of the amount of times I've had these conversations, and I've been you, man. I've been optimistic, and I've been like, you know what? I believe what he's saying. He's got his shit together, man. He's embarrassed by his previous falls. He let the fame get to his head, the money. You know, he's been to jail, he's reformed, and then he does it all again. The problem with Broner is he's a fame junkie and he's a money junkie, so he comes back. He'll smash Bill Hutchinson to bits because Bill Hutchinson and his 22 and 4 draws on there.
Amazing.
That screams club level fighter to me. They're fights he probably should have lost, but he's the home fighter in Philadelphia, so hey, Bill can't lose. He's the home fighter. Yeah, man. He'll smash Bill Hutchinson to bits. Hutchinson's never fought at 147 before. I guess the fight's at 147 at welterweight. No idea what Broner will weigh in at later today. Whatever he wants to, really. It's not like the fight's going to get pulled. He'll win. He'll win in style. He'll rock the mic. He'll talk this. The money will clear into his bank account. Well, then again, it's Don
King. It?
Maybe it won't. Maybe it won't. See Daniel Dubois. Did you ever get paid, Daniel, for that Brian fight? Anyway, if and when the check clears in Broner's bank account, he'll be back out there with a grill in, driving a fucking hired Ferrari, being Adrian Broner. It's Broner, man. A leopard, unfortunately, of this stature.
Did you just call him Adrian Broner? Did you just call him Adrian Broner?
No, Broner. But someone who's been fucking up so consistently his entire career cannot change their spots at this stage in their life. So, yeah, as much as it's romantic to think he could be reformed, and listen, every man deserves an opportunity to turn his life around. I just can't see it, man. I just can't see it. He'll win. He'll win in style. He'll do whatever. And then, you know, he'll do more Brona things. That's what Brona does. Brona Conor Benn. There's a fight that'll probably happen. There's a fight that will probably happen.
Stop talking about Conor Benn fighting.
I don't mean anytime soon. I mean when Conor ends his ban. But in 2 years' time, whatever it is, don't be surprised if Brona, after beating up a collection of Bill Hutchins, turns up on the zone, taking on Conor Benn. Timestamp that shit.
Okay. We'll just on Conor. He ain't been banned as of yet. He's provisionally suspended, isn't he? So let's get the conclusion of the UCAD situation before we even start speaking about him fighting. Rigon Dow's on the undercard of that, by the way.
Mad. Lost two of his last three.
Yeah. Madness. Is there anything else on Friday that you want to highlight?
Yeah, there's just one other show that I've made a note of, and it's purely just based on one fighter, and it's just in case any of our certainly MMA listeners that listen to the boxing show crossovers like us who love both, who've got UFC Fight Pass on Friday night, UFC Fight Pass live from California. There is a show that is headlined by Callum Walsh. Or certainly Callum Walsh is on that card. It's his first 10-rounder. He's the Irishman based out of California. The guy that's backed by Dana White. Yeah. He's got a lot of momentum behind him.
Tell him who he's fighting.
Of him. And the right people, let's say, are guiding this kid in the right direction. So if you want to keep an eye for Callum Walsh, then UFC Fight Pass Friday night is the place to be.
He's fighting Carson Jones, isn't he?
Yeah, it'll go viral. Oh, yeah, Carson Jones. Sorry, yeah. The artist formerly known as Curtis Jones, who's, you know,
Kell Brook's old adversary. Way.
Yeah, man. You know, what is he now? He's probably as old as you, nearly as old as me. He hasn't got, I think he's on a winning run, actually. He's won his last few, but if you look at who he's beat, you know, similar guys to your big German there, 30 wins against 30 losses, kind of level. Listen, we've seen Carson Jones not long ago come over here and lose a unanimous decision to Ted Cheeseman, just got completely outworked. It's not the Carson Jones from a long time ago that we see mix it at world level. That was at the top of the game. He's very much, you know, in this back end Roy Jones stage of his career where he's basically just fighting for money. But it's name value that he can add to the resume in his seventh fight as well. But don't look past Callum Walsh making a bit of a statement.
Cool. You ready for Saturday?
Let's roll into the big guys, man. Saturday.
Well, the big guys. We'll start with the little guys, shall we? We'll do Wembley first because I want to build up towards the main event.
What's the other show I want to mention on Saturday first?
On Friday?
Let's just get it out the way. No, because
you've done them. You've done them. You've done the three in England. You've done the three in England. You've just done Adrian Broner, and then you've done the one with Callum, which is five. And then we've got three here because you've got Mungir and Derevianchenko.
Oh, Mungir. Sorry, yeah, Mungir. Yeah, go on. Then we'll start with Sonny. Then we'll do Mungir. Then we'll end with the big one. Yeah, okay.
All right.
Apologies.
So Sonny Edwards is taking on Adrias Campos. This weekend at Wembley. And this is the big song and dance because Sonny Edwards, for years, has been going back and forth with Eddie Hearn. They've been chirping away at each other. And then all of a sudden, they've become pals. That's right. They've become fighter and promoter pals. And this is his big matchroom debut. I say big because I look at this card and I'm like, geez, this is... I know that we've just had a do at the Friday night card, but because it's a Friday night card, you can kind of... Well, you don't give it a full pass, but you kind of give it a little pass because Friday you can label it up, can't you, as, well, these are the next gen coming through and this is this and we need to give them this exposure and we need to give them this learning fight. Does it need to be on TV? I don't know. That's a discussion for another day. But you can kind of get away with it. Saturday night's supposed to be your staple night, isn't it? This is your big song and dance. Wembley, Sonny Edwards, World Championship. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da! And then you look at the card and you're like, fucking hell, man. I'm going to struggle to watch this. Not only is the Champions League final on Saturday night, right? So the majority of sports fans, even if you are a Manchester City fan or not, and the majority are not that are watching this, but it's Champions League. You're probably going to watch the Champions League final, aren't you? Are you going to be dragged away to watch this card up to Sonny Edwards versus Adrias Campos? I doubt very much that you are.
It depends. If that little rat-faced Gundogan twat scores two in the first 5 minutes, which is highly likely, then yes, I will, Adam. Yes, I will be turning
will
over
you?
To watch this instead.
Or will you not go and watch your film? Or will you not go and watch something else?
Well, yeah, good point. I am banging to Colin from Accounts at the moment, so no doubt I'll switch over and watch Colin from Accounts if Man City take an early lead, yeah. But listen, I'll be honest, though. I will 100% be tuning in to watch Sonny Edwards live.
Oh, yeah.
I really will.
Mate, the main event, with all due respect to the main event as well, right? Because the fights in this division, we've been banging the drum for Sonny Edwards for a long period of time. We believe, and listen, I don't want to speak for you. I'll speak for me. I believe he's the best in this division. And I'm putting him up there. Obviously, you're looking at that Bam Rodriguez fight. That's the sexy one, isn't it? Because Bam can box as well as fucking crack. And that's the real challenge. I think he stands Martinez on his fucking head. Having watched Martinez last time around, I think that's Bull versus Matador. I think Sonny Edwards would have an absolute field day with him. And there's other fighters in this division that we've already watched Sonny Edwards have an absolute field day. This is a little bit of a different fight because Campos doesn't crack. He doesn't have that equalizer. So I look at this. And I think to myself, right, how does Sonny approach this? You might see a tiny bit of different Sonny this weekend because there is no jeopardy. There isn't the equalizer that could take Sonny out, in my opinion. Listen, it's boxing. You never know. But I don't think it's there. He's a technician, is Campos. Is he as good as the technician as Sonny Edwards? No, he's not. Sonny will dance around him. But there might be, because there isn't the equalizer, you might see Sonny dig his toes in a little bit. And go on then, I'll attempt to try and finish this fight myself. That's the thing that I'm intrigued by with this fight. Sonny's going to win it, but how is he going to win it? Is he going to dance? Or is he at some point going to go, well, I don't think this kid can hurt me. So I'm going to show a little bit of something that I've been working on and I'm going to try and get him out of there. That's the thing that I'm interested in with the main event.
Yeah, listen, it's impossible to sell Campos too short because the kid's 15-0 as a pro. And yes, he hasn't got too many knockouts on his record, and yes, he hasn't got an extensive amateur degree to get too excited about. But you know, in theory, there is no blueprint to beat this guy. The problem is, we've been ringside, in fact, to see Sonny Edwards take on undefeated challengers before, and he stands them on the head and he embarrasses them. And I think that's what Andras Campos is going to find out at the weekend. Sonny Edwards breaks the heart of his opponents. You know, I'm surprised we haven't already had a Lomachenko style retirement with a Sonny Edwards challenger, because these guys come in, they work their entire careers. Campos, for instance, 15 wins, straight wins, now gets his world title fight at Wembley Arena in London. Wow, what a moment for him. He's ready. He's 100% ready. You seen their first meeting yesterday when they came head to head. Sonny's knocking his hat off and trying to get him going. Campos was cool as fuck. And I was like, good on you, man. Keep that cool. Stay cool. Keep composed. Good for you. The problem is, when he gets inside the ring, Campos will soon discover that every round he's ever boxed, every sparring session he's ever had, he's never faced anyone like Sonny Edwards. And Sonny Edwards will be doing stuff that he's never seen before. And he won't know how to react to it. And he won't know how to deal with it. And that's the beauty of Sonny Edwards and his style. He stands people on their head. He turns people inside out purely on the fact that they've never seen anyone box the way Sonny Edwards boxes and move the way he does and throw shots the way he does. Sonny Edwards makes his opponents throw shots that they didn't even know they wanted to throw themselves, because he sets traps left, right and centre. He's really that good, I think, right now. I know Eddie, listen, take everything Eddie says with a pinch of salt usually. But this week when Eddie was like, he's probably the best boxer in Britain, I'm like, I think you're right. I think he probably is. He probably is the best British boxer right now, Sonny Edwards. So I'm intrigued by the fight, but I can't see Campos bringing anything to the table that Sonny's not dealt with before. We need to get unifications now. Listen, I'm sure Eddie's banging from the same drum. I'm sure the calls have already gone into Rodriguez. The calls have already gone into Bam. It's already probably set up. The dates have already been penciled in. What Matchroom will want to do is announce him to their channel first. This is Sonny Edwards, best boxer in Britain. Come and see him, defend his world title on Saturday. Then we're going to go full steam ahead. I understand it and I get it, because you know what I see here? I see here the next boxing love affair. The next love affair. You know, we've seen it with Tony Bellew and Eddie Hearn. They'll use old news now. He's gone grey. Ian's not interested. He's like Leonardo DiCaprio. He wants a new young piece on his arm. The new young piece on Eddie Ian's arm is Sonny Edwards. Sonny Edwards and Eddie are going to make beautiful music together. That's a fact. And Eddie will bring the fights. And Sonny will deliver. And I believe Sonny Edwards will unify this division inside the next 12 months. And Eddie Hearn will ride it all the way. And these guys are going to make a fortune together. They really are. Because as we know, and as the Zone viewers have found out, Sonny rocks it in the ring. He rocks it out the ring. Give him a microphone, he'll rock commentary. Give him a media day, he'll rock that out as well. He's an absolute dream for this game. And in a flyweight division where Eddie knows, hey, I haven't got to pay tens of millions like I do with AJ. Sonny Edwards is a different level of finances altogether. You can make big fights and you can make them frequently. And big fights frequently means the Zone subscriptions. It's a match made in heaven.
What'd you make of the card?
Sonny Edwards, listen, he would sell anything. So,
to you.
Tuning in.
Yeah, to you.
People should be tuning in for Sonny Edwards in the main event. After that, I don't know. Ellie Scottney is going to take on Shanaka Johnson. I've never seen Shanaka Johnson box. I've seen a record. I've seen the fact she's the IBF world champion. She's coming over from Australia. There's another little Australian bantamweight champion that Eddie's got that's doing pretty well. So maybe Shanaka Johnson's thinking, I go over there, do well in Britain. I'll base myself in Britain. I'll make a fortune the same way. I'll follow the same route. It's a big opportunity for Ellie Scottney. In a seventh fight, it'll do 10. It'll do the full 10 two-minute rounds, of course. Neither of these girls can punch. I don't know enough about Johnson to know how this fight's going to go, to be honest with you. Am I that intrigued about it? Not at all, obviously, as you can tell. Siobhan Clark's going to knock somebody over. Kumari versus Rhys Bellotti. It's a good fight for Kumari at this stage in his career. Mm-hmm. Kid's 17 fights in. It's about time he fought somebody of a decent level. Bellotti's been there. It's a bit like the Tom Farrell fight from the previous night.
Yeah, agreed.
Other than that, you know, I'm not interested in the big Bosch knocking over some fucking kebab salesman. It is what it is. Sonny Edwards all day for me.
Yeah. I think it's really disappointing. I think it's a really disappointing card. Munguia, Derevyanchenko. What's going on with your guy, Jaime Munguia, right? Because what is he now? 41 fights into his pro career.
76-0 with 94 knockouts, Jaime Munguia, right now. Believe it. He is the greatest boxer on the planet.
Yeah, but
that's called satire. Don't clip it. He's a fucking... Yeah, well, anyway.
But what's going on with this particular fight? Because 154 champion, yeah? Comes up to 160. Right, we're going to have a couple of fights just to get ourselves set. Okay, yeah. Jaime. Okay. He then has what? 5 or 6 fights to get himself set.
Against nobody.
Doesn't challenge for a belt. And now he's fucked off to 168. What? This fight's a super middleweight fight. What is that all about?
Because he went to middleweight and he thought, you know what? I'll beat Demetrius Andrade. I'll quite fancy middleweight. I'll beat an aging Golovkin. Why not? And then, you know, Andre does a runner from that division because the new monster coming through. And I think Munguia went, yeah, fuck that. I'll swerve him as well. I'll go up to 168 just in case, maybe he's chasing Andre. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the two guys who don't want to box anybody
maybe he's just
ever
avoiding
in their entire careers.
Maybe they don't want Janibek, mate.
Well, what I mean. They both run away from Janibek. That's a fact. But Munguia chasing Andre, who's chasing ghosts, is hilarious because the two of them are going to go their entire career undefeated and not actually beat anybody of note.
41-0, Jaime Munguia.
Taking on Derevyanchenko, who's, what is he, 2-5, 2-4?
Yeah, he's most certainly not the guy that was obviously competing on several occasions for world titles, falling short at the very, very highest level. But he's good. But he's on this side of the mountain now compared to this side of the mountain. I just find it weird. I find the matchup weird. I find the choice of moving up already to 168. Is he staying at 168? Is it just a flirt? If it is a flirt, why are you doing it? Why are you not doing something meaningful at 160? It all feels just a little bit weird. Anyway, well, Munguia versus Derevianchenko.
Not even a 168. Davchenko was a 160.
No, he was the 160 challenger. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It just feels weird.
Yeah, you know what it does? It just skews everything. Because Munguia is a big kid. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, yeah, we'll fight Davchenko. He's only won 2 of his last 5. You know, yeah. But you know, just to make sure, we'll do it up at 168 as well. He's never been at 168. Yeah, but we'll do it at 168. All right, Jaime, brilliant. You'll be 42-0 Sunday, lad. Well done. Great.
Yeah. All eyes, let's be honest. Everything that we spoke about is all well and proper. Good, and you can dip in and out this weekend and, you know, have a little bit of a watch of whatever. But let's be honest. All eyes this week, Madison Square Garden, the Hulu Theatre, as Josh Taylor takes a trip across the seas to take on Teofimo Lopez, former 4-belt holder in the weight division below at lightweight, now obviously up at 140, taking on the WBO champion in Josh Taylor. It's been an interesting week this week, hasn't it? Really interesting week, because the fan reactions is one of the things that I've been trying to pay the most attention to, how people view Josh Taylor now. And I think that fight last year, of which he was subpar, whether he underestimated Jack Catterall, whether he crashed his weight, whatever, whether he overlooked it, whatever the situation was, he put in a subpar performance.
Yeah.
And then coupled with incompetence, if we can call it that, probably worse, but incompetent judging.
You spelled corruption wrong, but yeah.
Yes, I know. Listen, and we've said a lot of things about that particular fight, and I stand by everything that I've said, because we did some proper research. We looked into it. We went deep on that fight, and we told you about judges that were recommended or rejected by sanctioning bodies. You could just go back and watch it all. I don't want to go over it all again. The fight stunk from start to finish. But from Josh Taylor's point of view, all he did that night was put in a subpar performance.
Yeah.
That's all. He didn't judge the fight. He didn't call the result. He put in a subpar performance. And that subpar performance, coupled with everything else that got thrown on top of it, has kind of, in my opinion, diluted the facts of what Josh Taylor is.
Yeah.
The people forgot the body of work that has led him to this particular point.
Unifying the belts in one of the most sensational 18 fight runs in the history of British boxing, certainly modern day. Absolutely. You know, prior to 15 months ago, when we were in Glasgow that week, we were speaking to Josh. We were around Josh. We were around the fight. And all we could talk about was, this is the best boxer in Britain. This is the guy that's done it the hard way, brought all the belts together. Everybody in Britain should be the biggest Josh Taylor fans, because he's never swerved a fight. From about his 11th fight, he was fighting former world champions. You know, we used to joke about why the McGuigans used to steer him so hard. But he was doing boxing, right? Josh Taylor's entire career, forget about the result for a moment, I include the Jack Catterall fight, his entire 18-19 fight career is how boxing should look. Talented amateur, brought through really well, the right domestic fights at the right time, pushed on to world level when he gets just on double figures, former world champions, first world title fight, defense, second world title fight, bang, 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 taking chances, taking big opportunities, not hiding behind belts, not hiding behind home territory, willing to go out there, willing to put it on the line, willing to take risks. Josh Taylor was everything, was the poster boy of what we aspire boxing to be on this show, Fight Disciples. It's all we ever say. The best should fight the best. Let's find out who's number one in the division. Take a chance to change your life, to define your legacy. Josh Taylor sung from that song sheet. But unfortunately, on the 26th of February, 2022, the 3 scoring judges at ringside took a piss on that. And unfortunately, Josh Taylor, his reaction since then, in the 15 months that have come after it, and his response to that fight and his reluctance to not only give Jack Catterall a rematch, but also to mess Jack Catterall around and commit to rematches and then pull out on at least 2 occasions and everything else, has just muddied the waters, and his reputation's completely been tarnished. And what we need to see on Saturday night is the rehabilitation of Josh Taylor, because Had he lost, and I tweeted this yesterday, had Josh Taylor just lost in February last year to Jack Catchell on no scorecards, on a decision, we would have had a rematch. And you know what? I'd have still maybe fancied Josh Taylor to actually turn it on for the rematch and do it right. And you know what? If he'd have done it right and he'd have won the rematch, maybe we'd have been on a trilogy by now. And maybe both their careers would be defined by this trilogy together. And maybe then we'd be going, right, okay, Josh Taylor, wow, he won his trilogy with Jack Catterall. Will he go on and continue to defend all these belts? Or is he now really banging on the door to go, right, forget about, before we even got to the negotiation of Spence versus Crawford, we would have had a legitimate opponent for Crawford by going, hey, don't be running away from Josh Taylor. Josh Taylor's coming for you, Mr. Crawford. The narrative would have been completely different. He'd have been the poster boy of British boxing, absolutely, well and truly, unequivocally. But unfortunately, that night, not only did Jack Catchell get fucked by those judges, Josh Taylor did as well.
Yeah.
He really did. He really did on that night. He's got to put that behind him tonight. He's got to move forward. But this is such an unusual fight, Adam, because the last 15 months for Josh Taylor have been a disaster. The last 18 months for Teofimo Lopez have been a disaster. The two of them in such a weird space that they're coming together. It's kind of like who moves forward and who continues in this complete, you know, horrific situation in their career that's harming their legacy.
Yeah, it feels like a crossroads. It's weird to say that, doesn't it? Because you've got one undefeated fighter coming in, still world champion. And then you've got a guy that was the multi-belt world champion from the weight division below, moving up in weight. Obviously, he's come off the back of the Kambosos defeat. He's only got one defeat on his record. He's been absolutely sensational. Maybe even have beaten the best fighter of this particular generation on his resume only a couple of fights ago. But it feels like this weird fight that has come together where these two guys are caught in this crossroads. And the loser here, listen, there's a way back. There's always a way back. But it's just the narratives that are around both of these guys that might make coming back incredibly difficult. I'm fascinated by it. Just going on what you've just said there, and I'm so glad that you've highlighted it that way, because people will look at that fight in April of last year. Was it April or even earlier?
February.
In February of last year. And the whole conversation has been about Jack Catterall losing and what he should have achieved on that particular night. But you're right. The aftermath has actually proved that it wasn't just Jack Catterall that lost that night. Josh Taylor also lost as well. Boxing lost. Because of that result, people have forgot about Postol, Martin, Baranchik, Progre, Kongsong, Ramirez, Catterall, and now Lopez. That is the run of fights.
Unbelievable.
Eight fights, eight opponents with 180 wins and two losses between them.
That is the level
of opponent that Josh Taylor has been competing against. The only losses on there are Crawford and that Kambosos one, if we're going to be bringing Lopez into this conversation. There's only Canelo and Usyk in world boxing that can have the same conversation alongside Josh Taylor's resume of the level of opponent consistently that they are fighting. He has got the best resume in British boxing, in my opinion.
By a mile.
But it's been diluted because of incompetence, because of that ridiculous fight last year and what has come afterwards. And don't get me wrong, I'm not defending his actions. He hasn't handled it well. Everybody knows that he doesn't talk to me no more. We used to talk all the time. He used to do interviews all the time. That is a byproduct of being honest. I stand up with the way that I've responded in the aftermath of that February fight. I've said things when he's not been here on this particular show. I've said it on my TalkSport show. I've said it everywhere of how I feel about that fight. And I've also said it to his face. I appreciate that there's other people out there in the world that don't want to do that. They want to say things behind his back and they want to suck up to his face. And they have obviously maintained their relationships and can continue obviously interviewing the fella. That has obviously hindered my situation. I'm not going to lie to him. That's not what I'm here for. But I'm also not going to lie to you either in the fact that this kid has still got the best resume in British boxing. And he is going to be, I'm telling you now, knowing him vaguely as I do, he is going to be pissed off this weekend. He is going to be pissed off. He knows in the back of his head, and he, given this resume, given his attitude, given the things that he has achieved in boxing, he's going to want to prove a point this weekend. He's going to want to go out there and show you what Josh Taylor's all about. And I think Teofimo Lopez is the perfect opponent for him, given where Teofimo Lopez is at this stage. And this is really heartbreaking for me to say, because everybody knows that Teofimo Lopez is the guy that I picked as my one to watch. He's the guy that I backed to beat Lomachenko. He's the guy that, up to the point of being 23 years of age, I never had one single doubt in my head about this kid's ability, both mentally and physically. But we went out to Las Vegas, must have been for a Fury fight, and we spent a lot of time with Teofimo.
All day?
Spent all day with him in the gym, loads of conversations. But then, if you remember, he actually came out on a couple of occasions in the evening, and we had a bit of a laugh and a joke with him, and he was around us, just having a bit of a drink and what have you. Us, not him. And he was so different. So different, just so many things are going on in that lad's personal life that are going to affect the way that he approaches this game. It's well documented. Obviously, he's going through a relationship situation. He's obviously become a dad, of which there's, because of the relationship situation, that's a difficulty in his life as well. And I think he's lost. I really do. And I know he's only 25 years of age and he's achieved these fantastic things in boxing. I just think Tio's lost. And it's heartbreaking to watch from the outside. I hope I'm completely wrong, because I've not spoken to him in this camp. I hope that it's back on. I hope that everything's cool in the camp and that he's lasered in and focused on 140 works for him rather than in being at 135. But I just can't see it. I just can't see how we can turn all that around, because all that stuff is still going on in the background. I know it is. Correct. I know all that stuff's going on in the background. So I don't know how we can flip it and come back to what he was when he was 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. I think he's in trouble this weekend. I really do. I always think back to
when you used to talk him up so much on this show, and you were like, you know, you used to have him on TalkSport all the time. In fact, we had him on Fight Disciples. This is all prior to Lomachenko. We had him on here doing interviews, and it was just a super lasered in, focused kid that was ready to take on the world and truly believed in his ability. And the version of Tio we got to spend time with, and the version of Tio that has done a lot of media in the build up to this fight with Josh Taylor, is just a completely different person. You know, he's got his brain just isn't slowing down. And that's personally, emotionally, spiritually, like when you have a conversation with this kid, it goes in every single direction, and not one of them did you think it was going to go in that direction. We recorded well over an hour, maybe an hour and a half, maybe with him.
We're there for ages, yeah.
Easy. And what did we put out? About 18 minutes, 19 minutes, just because the kid wasn't in a good headspace. And what I've seen this week doesn't convince me that he's cleared that headspace and he's ready for a fight of this magnitude and he's ready to put his career back on track. And it's a dangerous place right now, because I remember the takeover was great. Yeah. When he beat Lomachenko, the takeover's here, top ranker all over it. And you're like, wow, okay. This kid, after doing that to Lomachenko, this kid could be something very special. You know, this kid could go on and, you know, the big, every time someone breaks through now, whether it's Tank or Gervonta or Shakur Stevenson, or in this case, Teofimo Lopez, is this the next Floyd? Is this the guy that's going to conquer boxing, the next big pay-per-view star? Well, most of us were saying after Lomachenko, fuck me, this is the guy. And then he looks ordinary against George Kambosos Jr., gets dropped early in the fight. He struggled through against Camper. Then he probably should have lost. This is the mad thing. He probably should have lost his last fight against Sander Martin. Got dropped in that fight. Should have probably lost on the scorecards. Exactly the same as Josh Taylor. Got dropped early in the fight. Should have lost on the scorecards against Jack Catterall. They're both coming into this fight on the back of false wins. And how they react to that is going to be tested. I think Josh Taylor's been on more of a a public journey. Well, certainly, well, that's maybe a very skewed British angle, but he's gone from being everyone's hero to taking an awful lot of shit after the Jack Catchell, which, again, he wasn't a judge, but it was the way he rode that decision and his reaction to that decision. A lot of fans fell out with him. Even Scottish fans fell out with him as well. So he's on this journey of rehabilitation. My other point I want to make about Josh Taylor that I'm concerned about is when we were standing with him week of the fight with Jack Catterall, he was absolutely dead at the weight.
Yeah.
Which I know he's been like that for a long time, but he was dead at the weight. His eyes were sunk in his head. He was so lean. And he said to us, he went, listen, I've unified all the belts here. I should be moving up. I should be going up to welterweight to welterweight now, 147. He said, but I made a promise to Jack Catterall. If he allowed me to, if he stepped aside, let me unify the belts, he would get a shot before it moved up. That's who. That's the real Josh Taylor, by the way. That's his real personality. That's really the guy he is. A fucking good guy. But he was dead at the weight that night, and he provided a dead at the weight performance. We are now 15 months on from that, and he's got to do it again tomorrow in New York. He's got to make that weight again. 15 months on. He hasn't made it in the meantime. 15 months on. I think there's a real battle with the scales that Josh Taylor's got to do on Friday, which could, if the fight goes deep, impact him in the fight at Madison Square Garden. There's so much more than just skill and technique here. It's, you know, most fights are easy to break down. Oh, he's a southpaw. He likes southpaws. You know, Josh Taylor got caught out by a southpaw in Jack Catterall. Will he get caught out again? Well, Teofimo Lopez, not a southpaw. Great. Teofimo Lopez struggled against southpaw Sander Martin. Josh Taylor is a southpaw. Woo! He doesn't like southpaw, the fight fit. But to be honest, all that is secondary in this fight, because it's all about where are they at mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. It's got fuck all to do with technique, in my opinion. It's got all to do with where are their heads at right now. Can Josh Taylor even make this weight? Where is he emotionally? Is he ready to get back on the horse and continue where he left off prior to Jack Catterall? And can Teofimo find the takeover again? Because he's been lost since Kambosos exposed him.
And listen, having spent time, as you have, in both of these guys' companies to a certain extent, and not, let's talk about Taylor first and foremost. Let's not forget, he had a quite serious foot injury. How much is that healed? Is he physically absolutely on the money? We know that he's changed camps. He's working with guys that we know very, very well in Liverpool. No stone unturned with those fellas. Joe will have absolutely lasered in on the technique of how to go and beat Teofimo Lopez, but also the strength and conditioning that comes alongside that work with Joe and the guys in that gym will be bang on. He won't have crashed. I genuinely believe that Taylor didn't respect Catterall. I think he overlooked him. He's just become undisputed champion. He's on this fantastic ride.
Homecoming.
He's enjoying himself. I mean, the pomp and ceremony in and around that homecoming was ridiculous. It was basically just bring us a body. I'll turn up, do what I need to do. And
Jack Catterall, bear in mind, Jack Catterall's name wasn't even on the ticket. Ticket to the show, it just said Josh Taylor, the homecoming. Jack Catterall's name wasn't even on it. So that shows you everything you need to know. But anyway, regardless, sorry.
Jack's had the night of his life. Josh is taking it lightly. And I think sometimes you need that wake-up call, don't you? You just need, well, hey, Billy Big Bollocks, getting carried away with yourself, were you? And that's where I think Josh is at. I think that's what. Just wait a minute. More so, Josh, because I think Josh has made fundamental decisions, hasn't he? Yeah, okay. There's been a fucking 15-month period where we've all, you know, looked at it and gone, Josh, that's not Josh Taylor. Josh Taylor's acting in a way and behaving in a way that we don't recognize. Mm-hmm. He's made a change. He's gone to a different gym. The mentality's changed, the way that he's speaking. You could just tell that he's kind of back in a way. And don't get me wrong, we know his PR person, right? And she is absolutely polishing it like mad because she knows. She knows the fans are falling out with him. She knows the score. And she's absolutely working her tail off this week in order to put Taylor in a good place with the fans. And I personally think it's working. I think he's coming across really well this week. And from the noises that I've heard coming out of that gym, Taylor's on fire. Taylor's ready to go, right? So I think we're going to see the reinvention of Josh Taylor if physically that injury with his foot is bang on. Teo's different.
because there's a lot of his daddy in
there. There's no change. There's no change. His dad's still there.
Yeah, this is it. It's there's carnage going on in his personal life, like proper things that really hurt him, like really got to him. He's been speaking a little bit this week about divorce and how much he's going to lose half of his fortune and all this type of thing. He's talking about those things in fight week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, if this is in your head now, this ain't good. No. This is not good coming into a championship fight. Don't get me wrong, there's big things here for him at the weekend. He could become a two-weight world champion, taking on the former undisputed champion. He's doing it at Madison Square. It's all big shit, mega shit.
Yeah.
But there's so much going on outside of boxing. So much going on. And I just feel like I remember having conversations with him about his relationship with his dad. And there's a lot of pain there. It's not, listen, I don't want to speak ill, but he has spoken and he's done it on the record as well, where there's a lot of pain in that relationship. And I just feel like that. It feels like a young lad trying to impress his dad. That's what it feels like to me. And he needs to be here for him. If he's not here for him, this is going to end badly on Saturday. Because Josh Taylor's here for him.
Yeah.
Josh Taylor don't give a fuck about nobody. Josh Taylor's here for him.
Yeah.
Is Teofimo Lopez here for him? I don't think he is. I think he's here for his dad.
Yeah. It's really intriguing. And listen, I think we're both going the same way. I believe all the advantages here are with Josh Taylor. I really do. And I think stylistically as well, as everything else, this is a good fight for Josh Taylor because Teofimo is aggressive. He is front foot. He does like to put on a bit of a show. And I think he'll walk on to Josh Taylor's big shots.
The thing is, regarding, I think the speed is with Teo, though.
Yes.
The speed is with him. But like
the reaches with Taylor,
yeah.
Teo's got a let's talk about the boxing styles then. Teo's got a really good jab. He's fast. He works off that jab. If Teo turns up and he's the guy that beat Vasyl Lomachenko,
oh mate,
he could win this all day. He really could.
Yeah,
he could win
this
all day.
Absolutely.
But that was a long time ago. That was 2020. Since we've seen that version of Teofimo Lopez, and he's been far from that since. You've only got Josh. You look at Josh Taylor's body of work. Phenomenal, brave as anything, massive stones, can mix it, can box, can fight on the outside, can go on the front foot, got that lovely southpaw style, knows how to throw it, lovely right hand lead from the southpaw style, lovely right hook, which I think could work easy in this fight as well. There's loads of positives for Josh Taylor. I just need to see Josh Taylor step on those scales, hit that championship weight. And just see that, and a nice bit of white in his eyes as well. I don't want to see dark eyes, blurry eyes, bloodshot eyes. That means it's been a struggle. I want to see him nice, clean. He's going to look shredded. He's going to look as massively weight drawn because he will be, because that's how Josh Taylor's always looked at super lightweight. And he isn't potentially too much longer for this weight division. We've been saying that for a long time. So he will look drawn, but there's a difference between being drawn and being dead at the weight. I think as long as he's strong at the weight, I think Josh Taylor puts on a bit of a show at Madison Square Garden. I really do. I really do. I think his problems stem down to one night, one moment, a bad night at the office. Teofimo Lopez's problems are far more systemic and over a longer period of time.
Yes. I hope I'm massively wrong, man. I hope we get fight of the year.
Of course.
I hope we get two guys that have turned up and they're ready to fucking rock and roll and they give us an absolute firecracker. I really, really, really do. Xander's on the undercard. My boy Xander Zayas, he's been looking decent coming through. He'll keep us entertained for a short period of time, but let's be honest, it's all about the main event. That's where your hard on is going to be. Josh Taylor versus Teofimo Lopez, Madison Square Garden, WBO Super Lightweight World Championship. Available to you on Sky Sports. There you see. That's that concludes it, doesn't it? That concludes our boxing this weekend. Apart from, do you want to talk about Mayweather's exhibition?
Oh, he's taken on the third grandson of the great, 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 great grandson of, I don't know, some fucking, I don't know, whatever. Not really.
Okay.
Not really. Not if we don't have to.
Okay.
Not if we don't have to. We can talk about the Australian heavyweight title fight that's going down on Saturday night in Queensland, Australia, Townsville, Queensland, where 12-0 Jelen Tate has taken on Patrick Clark, who's 2-6, if you want, you know, mismatches. You know, I love a mismatch.
Not really, mate. I'm happy to finish where we've just finished.
Okie dokie. Fair enough.
Sand. There you go. There's your boxing this weekend. Lots to consume. Some interesting main events. One cracker in at Madison Square Garden. Keep an eye on that one. That's your fight of the weekend. Some poor undercards, let's be straight. But as the weeks start to roll, the fights are going to start coming thick and fast for you, which we will preview and review and give you the news right here on Fight Disciples. So please subscribe to us. You can do it via our website, fightdisciples.com. We've got every audio feed under the sun, and we're also on YouTube, where we are looking now in 4K. Look at that. Beautiful stuff. It's available under the name Fight Disciples. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.